right. I guess we'll get started. Looks like it's 3:15, and so thanks for coming out. My name is Aaron Rasmussen, project manager at Evolving Web.
I'm Simone. I'm also a project manager at Evolving Web. Been doing Drupal now for about a year, so trying to share whatever we've learned so far with you guys. Good. So just briefly, we're going to go over estimating why you need to do it, why it's different for Drupal projects, open source in general, where you should start, getting to know your team, your client, involving them, and then getting down into the details with granular specifications, figuring out functionality, and then looking back once a project is complete, revision, seeing what you could do better and how things can be changed.
So any presentation on project management obviously requires an obligatory Dilbert comic, so we'll get that out of the way at the top of the show. We'll come back to Dilbert a little later. But first of all, let's just make clear that estimation, accurate estimation, is very hard. And like a lot of things in life, the better you get at it, the more you realize really just how much you don't know and how much you may never know going into a project. That said, there are some approaches that work better than others, and that's what we're here to talk about today. So why estimate to begin with? The short answer is that everyone walking in wants to know how long are we going to be here, and ultimately that's going to have an equation to how much money is this going to cost. And in most situations, homeland security aside, there is a cost-benefit analysis that goes into most of what we build. And that obviously has to happen before we begin, decide whether it's worthwhile proceeding. There's also a secondary benefit to estimation, which is that by discussing features, functionality, and the approach to the work up front, you get buy-in, you get commitment, and a common consensus both with the client or the product owner and also internally with the development team. And that process of estimating can oftentimes be as beneficial or more beneficial than the actual number that comes out at the other end. In order to really think through estimation process, it's oftentimes useful to look at it from a more holistic approach than simply just how long is this going to take. There are really four parts to it that you need to consider together. Obviously, the requirements, specifications of the project, the constraints, which really are budget and deadlines, the tools that you plan to use, and the team that's available to you. It's really difficult to address any of those without accurately and honestly addressing the other three. So for now, let's assume that we're building a site that's new, fresh. Later, we can go back and look at estimating feature development on existing sites because it's a bit different. But for now, let's look at a fresh site. You really need to start with understanding the high-level business goals of the project. How is success going to be measured? What are the desired outcomes? What are the key business factors that are preeminent in the product owner's mind going into the project? If you don't have a clear sense of that, when it comes time to making compromises on functionality and specifications, things are going to go sour. But once you wrap your head around those high-level goals, it's really ideally time to have an honest conversation about the constraints. Any kind of clarity that you can get around deadlines, which is generally easier to discuss, and budgets, which for an internal team should be the first thing that you start with. We have this much money, we have these many resources available to us, and we have this much time available to us. That's going to determine a lot of the scope of everything else that follows. If it's a client-vendor relationship, it's a more awkward conversation to have at the beginning. But if you can get that level of trust and start from a constraints perspective, everything else can fit into that budget and that timeline, and ultimately everyone's going to be a lot happier with the project as a whole. The development itself will go a lot smoother if everyone was clear going in what was the, you know, what are the milestones, what are the deadlines we have to hit, and what are the real upper end of the budget how bad is it if we go over budget? Are there other ways of paying for this? Most clients going in would rather make compromises on scope than on budget or timeline. Almost any manager is prepared to make compromises when it comes to some of the details of what you're building. In terms of the tools that we're using, obviously we're here at Drupal Camp. Let's assume that the primary tool for this exercise is going to be Drupal, plus some other third-party tools. So
take over now. Can you hear me? Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So just straight off the bat, being Drupal, being open source, means that there are a lot more things that you need to take into consideration when estimating your project. How familiar is your client with open source, with licensing, with the fact that there is code out there that so many different people have worked on? You cannot guarantee how good or bad it is or whether it'll function properly in the way that you want it to. You need to check out modules that you want to use. Are they being supported? Are they being maintained? Is there an upgrade for the version of Drupal that you're working on? So if you're working on 6, will it be supported in 7? Is it active? You need to think about which version of core you're using. And you also need to realize that if you do work on modules or you build them during the project, that they need to be maintained post-project, post-delivery, because other people might want to use them. And it's something you need to consider when estimating, just so that time is spent on developing the product completely. There are also third-party relationships that you need to take into consideration. A lot of shops have vendors for translation or outsource a lot of the development. So if you are working with a client that has those kind of relationships, you need to take that into consideration initially. Moving on from tools is the team. Your internal team, people you're working with, that's really important to have them involved in this whole discussion. From the start, like, I know myself, I'm not a very technical person. So if you were to ask me straight off, like, how many modules do I need for this? Which one is the best one? Say I wanted to build a slideshow, which is the best slideshow module? I really wouldn't know. So it's really best to have a technical lead, somebody who's really familiar with Drupal, who's worked on a few projects before, knows which modules are good for what, and get their opinion on things. At the end of the day, they're the ones that have to build everything out, so they should know what they're expected to do. How good are they at estimating? You've obviously worked with these people before. How reliable are their estimates? In the past, if they said that this particular functionality is going to take 10 hours and it actually took 6 hours, then you can say that, okay, well, you know, they're overestimating the time it'll take, so accordingly readjust. Have they worked on similar projects before? This gives you an idea of who to put together for different projects within your team. So, for instance, if you got a lot of young, new developers that aren't very experienced, then you're probably going to want them to work on functionality that isn't as core to the website that you're building as, you know, somebody who's more experienced and can go in and show the others how to do things. Getting an estimate from your team means that you're getting a commitment from them. It means that when you do meet with your client to provide your estimates, that you're saying that together as a team, we can work with you within this budget, within this scope, towards this goal. And it's really good to have everybody on board for that so that there are no surprises within your own team, because as project managers, it's easy enough to oversell Drupal. to say, you know, well, we can do this, sure, easy enough, but it doesn't always work out that way, so it's good to get some technical aspect in. You also have to know your client. Have they used Drupal before? How familiar are they with open source? Have you worked with them before? You know, if you have a vendor relationship established already, then you kind of know what to expect from them, how things are going to work out. If you haven't worked with them before, how did you get in touch with them? Were you recommended by another client? That those are clues and indicators as to how perhaps your relationship might turn out. It's obviously nothing set in concrete, but it just helps you get an idea of where things might be going. Does your client, are they organized? Do they know what they want? Are they willing to compromise on things? A lot of the time, when you're setting out on a new project, you put in a lot of effort into creating new specifications, into functionality, and it really helps if the client has this set out already. So if you know that the client has a very vague idea of what they want, then you got to estimate a good buffer period over there to just go through this with them, a lot of meetings, a lot of discussions going on about that. Who is involved on their side in this whole estimation, in this whole development process? Are there key technical resources on their end that you can communicate with that will understand what the project is all about? If you need to have a discussion about, say, the budget or the scope, do you have contacts within the client organization to get that discussion going on? These are factors that really affect the overhead of a project, because if the communication is not flowing very well, then you're going to spend a lot of time on like emails and waste time on meetings when really you could actually just have one key technical resource there who understands you perfectly, and things just go a lot better. How well do you understand their business? A lot of the time, clients focus on three main things. It's the budget, the scope, and the schedule. So you need to know which one of those three is their main priority. If things get really out of whack during development, and suddenly, you know, you come across an issue that pushes things off, is the client willing to compromise on a budget or push back the release date? You need to know this just so that your own internal planning too can be adjusted accordingly.
So now at this point, then we can finally actually get down into the specifications and analysis of the requirements, and try to figure out how long we actually think it's going to take to build the site. Most new projects are going to come initially in the form of an RFP, a specifications document. Hopefully someone's taken the time to actually write down some ideas, circulate it internally, get some consensus. It's not always the case. But let's assume that, you know, eventually you can get the product owner to that point. There's going to be meeting notes early on. And hopefully there is some kind of visual representation of what they're trying to achieve. Mock-ups or wireframes will often contain a lot of clues about what a client or a product owner is thinking, and oftentimes they're not, if you look at them closely, they're not going to be entirely consistent with the written specifications. You know, we've seen just in the last few months, you know, situations like, you know, a mock-up will have a little welcome Aaron up in the corner, and there's nothing about user authentication in the specifications. Those kinds of inconsistencies should be red flags of, wait a minute, you know, we need to have another talk about what exactly we're building here. Similarly, you know, a little language switcher can be a indication of, you know, multilingual content when those kinds of things were not flagged in the initial written specs. So as quickly as possible, though, the idea is to get all of that information into a spreadsheet. We're going to flip over here and show you So here's an example of a, oh, this is the wrong one. Here's an example of very high level specifications with a just a short. Help me up here. A short description of each one, like literally just a few sentences. Some, as we're going through each of these line by line, developers, project managers are reviewing them and adding their questions. We often do this in Google Docs. We always do this in Google Docs these days. Trying to capture what we know, what we don't know, where our doubts are, what are the assumptions, or what caveats does the developer want to add to a given spec or feature that will make him or her comfortable going forward and building it, and then ultimately what modules are we going to use to implement that feature. And any other sort of information like relationships with APIs or other third-party tools that we can capture, anything like that we can define, sort of map out what we need, and then over time you'll see that there'll be holes in if we don't have a module identified, that either means someone's got to go back and research it, or it's going to have to be something that's written custom. Now, what you'll notice here is also maybe what you don't see, we're not talking about a huge level of detail here. We're still at the estimation phase. Ideally, once you have, the idea here is to ballpark the time that you need. You don't need to go into writing out specifications and of the features at this point. Most developers these days would rather take about this level of detail, spec something out, and especially given the fact that we're basing everything on existing modules. Hopefully, clients are in a situation where they're willing to use the tools that are available to them and don't necessarily require detailed customization of the user experience. They can save themselves a lot of time, a lot of money, by accepting the best practices that are already established in a lot of those modules. If you go and ask them what they want in a great level of detail, it's not necessarily going to come up to the same. Better to present what's available to them and validate that that works. But again, so unless they come into it with already flagging specifications that you can recognize are going to have a conflict, and that's where we're capturing those in the questions and the assumptions, then assume that a module is going to satisfy a given task. You also see there that we don't have a column here for specific hours estimates. Now, this is where we perhaps vary from other shops in the way that we estimate at this stage, but and be curious, later on we can discuss other approaches at this point. But what we end up doing instead is that we have a sprint column over here. Now, if you had an honest conversation at the beginning about the budget, the time period available, then and we know we like to work in 2-week sprints, then you can already build out a rough work schedule. This is going to be an 8-week project because that's what we can afford. There's going to be a little bit of planning at the beginning. There's going to be time for deployment at the end. Let's say it leaves us with 3 2-week sprints in the middle. And then you just start to reorder these lines. And this was based on a rather large project, but we've only got maybe 25, 30 line items on the whole list. So you start grouping those into sprints, saying this is what we can deliver in the first 2 weeks. This is something that we're not going to deliver in that first sprint presentation. We're going to wait and deliver that one in the second one. And as you get granular, thinking of it instead of as an 8-week project, now you're thinking of it as 2-week sprints. You start to think these 5 lines are something that the team is comfortable delivering in that first sprint. This other set of requirements is something that we'd be comfortable delivering in the second sprint. There will be times when internally a team isn't going to feel comfortable committing because either it requires some kind of a new module we don't have experience using, or we feel like there's too many questions unanswered related to that, and then this question of going back to the client with questions, trying to get some kind of validation on, listen, if we frame it in these terms, is that acceptable? We need to rescope this in a way that we can deliver it within a given 2-week sprint. Sometimes that's a matter of then taking a complex requirement and saying, well, sprint one, you're going to see it like this. Sprint two, you're going to see an iteration on top of that requirement. The other thing we'll often do there is that, oftentimes the theming happens in the second sprint. We don't want to leave it too late. At the same time, often that first, or at least there'll be an initial theme, but a lot of the fine-tuning of the theme will happen after we've had one chance to validate what we end up calling usually a prototype of the site with the client. So we get that happens 2 weeks in. So a lot of in that first sprint, the things that you're naming on this document as sprint one, the idea here is to get a lot of the let's call them must-have requirements nailed early on. You want to be sure that what you're building in the end is satisfying those requirements that absolutely tie into the high-level business goals that were established early on. The reality is a lot of the requirements don't necessarily have a direct relationship with those high-level business goals. That doesn't mean they're not important. That doesn't mean that they're not going to get built. But it is really important to prioritize and understand which of the requirements are supporting those business goals and which ones are just filling out the user experience or the rest of the site. The other thing to consider here, and it's important for the client to understand, we're going to focus really on the first sprint as we're planning this. Things that get assigned to, say, the third sprint in a three-sprint build, there's a high risk that some of those are going to drop from the project altogether. The client has to be willing to recognize that. And most clients will, if you have that conversation with them, they'll say, you know what? If that's not in the final build, we'll be fine. And a lot of times what you'll find is that those are often the poorly defined or loosely defined requirements that, when push comes to shove, no one was really sure which VP asked for that or why they did in the first place. So by just simply putting them to the end when, if we have time, we can sit down and figure this out. If we don't have time, this is what's going to get cut, is usually the most responsible way to address those. So then on a sprint-by-sprint basis, the key here is really to get commitment from both internally from your team and from the client that, yes, this is what we can build and this is what we want to see on, after 2 weeks. The other, following a general agile approach, those other sprints are very loosely defined because at the end of that first sprint, you're going to revalidate what's really important to us now for the second sprint. You don't have to go into too deep or granular a scoping exercise for anything beyond that first sprint. It is worthwhile loosely grouping them and saying, sprint two, these are the four or five things we think work on sprint three. These are, if not, you're not, you know, the reality is that what we're describing here is agile with, for all intents and purposes, a fixed price, because clients do have budget constraints and they don't want to be surprised on the upside. I think that's all I wanted to say here. So, if we, just very quickly, now where we do go into much more detailed hours estimates, like I said, when you're discussing feature development on an existing site, somehow things change. It's so much easier for everyone to look at a site that already exists, especially if you as a development team have already built that site. But even if someone else built it and you're being called in to work on it, if you have access to the code, even just being able to log in, you know, as an admin and understand how certain things were built, it's much more, it's safer to, you know, for everyone to be able to say, to get from point D to point E is going to take this much work. We can make accurate estimates on that kind of a build. And since we can, without too much work, we should. I mean, this is really about, because as well, what you'll find is, you know, here's another example of a spreadsheet that we'll use for estimating. Sorry for the. So what we'll often do here is we'll do high-low estimates, including, you know, there's oftentimes the thing that's often forgotten here is, you know, there's what the developer says it's going to take, and there is always an overhead around that. You know, it's not just, I mean, here we're tracking project management, you know, separately, but, you know, there will be, you know, depending on what you're talking about, you know, there are translation costs, there are, you know, plenty of other factors, especially when you're looking at it from an internal perspective, where, you know, you do have, you know, in this, you know, do you need to hire a designer to support it? All these sorts of things. But in these kind of situations, then what it allows you to do is do a bit of iterative planning, and again, prioritize and group those features, using, you know, basing it on a cost benefit analysis. So when we're talking about development on an existing site, it makes a lot more sense to go much more granular.
So, at the end of the day, no matter how much you plan, things can go wrong. You know, you start a project, and halfway through you realize this module is not the best fit, or it needs to be customized further, and then you're like, oh, well, got to spend a few more hours on it. It pushes back everything else, and you end up with, let me go back. You end up having to talk to your client about, you know, revising your estimate, your initial project plan. And that's all right. You know, we'd like to say that, sure, the best thing is to communicate that to your client immediately. It doesn't always happen, truthfully. You know, you try to do as much as you can to ensure that the client still gets what they expect. But, you know, having an honest relationship with your client and saying, okay, well, you know, something's come up and this is what it is, so let's just reevaluate our goals and see if budget is still your priority, or if it's scope, or if it's schedule, then we can work around it and see what else can be maybe moved to a separate phase or a separate sprint. For us, like as Aaron mentioned earlier, we work off sprints. So at the end of every sprint, which usually is about 2 or 3 weeks, we revise our estimates. We look at everything that we had planned out for the previous 2 weeks and for the next 2 weeks and see, all right, well, where did we go wrong? Or are we on track? Can we deliver what we said we will deliver in this time? And it's really good because you're touching base. Like for us, we do a demo after each presentation, so the client knows where we are, and we're honest about that. Our team knows where we are, and so we can go together on the same page. You can choose to do it differently, but it's always good at whatever steps you can to just look at your initial plan and see where, in which direction you're going. And then once you have delivered your product, of course, reviewing everything that you've done. We internally use Redmine. I know people use Jira. You can use Google Docs, whatever it is, to track your time spent on each project by individuals, whatever it is. And it's really good to review this internally just to see, like, where did you spend the most time? Did we get it right? Did we not get it right? And just see how we can improve it for the next project. Conduct reviews with your internal team, with management, with your developers, themers, designers. See what their take was on. Are there modules that there are out there that they think were really helpful, that they want to work on? You know, that's getting out of estimation. But it's good to have these reviews just to see what can be improved on. You learn something new with every project. So it's always good to just try and see what can be done. If you're working in a larger team, knowledge transfer is really good at this point, just because if you do start a relationship with a client, it's likely that that's going to continue on maybe another project, or they're going to refer you or something. And people tend to come and go in companies. So just making sure that there are other people around that know how to handle things is something that you could include. It's not estimation, as I've mentioned before, but it's something to think about when you are looking through your estimates initially. And yeah, and externally, talking to your client, seeing whether the expectations that you had set out in the beginning were actually achieved, whether they were as satisfied with the product as they had hoped to be, and just trying to see what kind of feedback you can get from that. So some of the resources we used in this presentation and some of the things that we actually use in our own estimation is there's this book by Steve McConnell, the software estimation book. It's really popular. A lot of people have read it. It's really good. Lullabot, Seth Brown of Lullabot, he's a project manager, I believe, released an article called The Art of Estimation, which is really, really good. They've actually put out their spreadsheet that they use for estimation. It's very detailed. We don't actually use the same approach, but it is similar. We don't go into as many details. But it's a good article to read just to see what kind of approaches there are out there. Jacob Pearson of Node1 did a presentation on estimation at Chicago, which I would highly recommend watching. And just recently, about 2 weeks ago in DrupalCon London, there was a BOF on Drupal estimation, and some of the notes from that are up here on this blog by Shannon Vettis. So that's it. We're going to end with Dilbert again, because at the end of the day, no matter what we say, you can really just throw a number out there and hopefully work according to that, you know. So.
We do all of our time tracking in Redmine. To be honest, what we don't do is we don't plug our estimates into Redmine going in, so it's difficult for us to really measure, you know, the actual time spent versus the estimate. You know, and part of the reason is that we oftentimes, you know, we don't go into that much detail on a feature by feature hours estimate. You know, we quickly get much more granular in Redmine than we would in terms of, you know, we just, I don't know if it's we're moving too fast or we're lazy or what, but we don't, you know, we're not, to be honest, we're not at the point where we stop and ask our developers, how long is this going to take you? Write it down and hold their feet to the fire. But we do all of our time tracking in Redmine, and it works pretty well for us. I'm not sure.
Yeah, what we find is really helpful is once you've got the functionalities figured out, is to make really small actionable tasks so that for each task or each issue in Redmine, you can log half an hour, 1 hour, whatever it is. And then at the end of the day, like that's a lot easier, we found, for our developers too, because you know, as soon as they close an issue, it's just right there, log time for that. And then afterwards, you can pull up a query to display all of it in one sheet.
What we'll do as a next step, you know, the spreadsheet that I showed you, each line item there will get translated to what we call a spec item, you know, or it's basically equivalent to a user story in Redmine. And then under each spec item, we'll then break that down into actionable developer tasks. Usually the spec itself doesn't actually get assigned to any one person, which is partly why it becomes a little difficult for us to put an hour's estimate against the given spec. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wherever possible, we don't log time against the spec itself. We log time against the sub item. What is it? What?
And is that tool only used by your project planners and management, or do your developers? Right, okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
That's
interesting. Does anybody else have any other techniques that they...
Right. First of all, our developers are brilliant, so yeah. we rarely run into that problem. But I mean, there are times when it's just not the right tool for the job. Although, I mean, that I think that happens less personally on a module by module basis than just on a is Drupal the right fit for this project. And you know, sometimes that conversation needs to happen at the beginning, and especially for us, where what we sell is Drupal, it's an awkward conversation to have because basically we're saying, are we the right company for this? And you know, that's what I was trying to address with this question about, okay, what are the core business requirements here versus what are features that are negotiable? Because if Drupal can't satisfy, if there aren't modules that are going to satisfy the core business requirements, then you should walk away. But if we're talking about specifications that can be renegotiated in some way, then usually you can find, you know, a module that will work, or you can build something yourself that'll satisfy it. I don't know if that, do you buy that answer? Or right. Oftentimes we'll invest, you know, sometimes significant time, like, you know, several days or a week or two, prototyping and experimenting with certain modules that we don't have that much experience with, but that we have a hunch are going to solve the problem before we sign the contract, because we don't want to get locked into promising something that in the end we can't deliver. You know, we'll just, you know, either take a risk that, okay, you know, that's time that we would have had to spend, you know, and we'll bill it after we sign the contract, fudge the numbers a little bit, to be honest, you know, but then if in the end we get to the point where, you know what, you know, this isn't going to work, then it's just time that, you know, that was an investment on our point in terms of, you know, dodging a bullet that could have hurt us. We were talking about that the other day. There's certain red flags that you can scan for very quickly, and some of them clients will know coming in. And you know, usually the first email that we'll get from a prospective client will be, you know, can you handle is the guy that wrote to me? We had a conversation last week with somebody that was here. You know, 50,000 nodes in a site. You know, or 150,000 nodes in a site, or you know, so there's certain things like that where you start to go, okay, this is going to be a big job. I mean, content import is always one that, you know, it's something that we try to specialize in. But I mean, we're talking about a CMS, and you're probably, odds are you're not launching with an empty CMS. And you know, the one thing that we continually underestimate is all the things that can go wrong with large content imports. So as soon as you're talking about a lot of content or a lot of different content types, you know, each content type is another chance for a huge mess. You know, whether it's, hey, the video's in the wrong format, or you know, whatever it is, you know, something will go wrong. So that's something. Multilingual, just, you know, is a one of those sort of, again, you're talking about languages that you might not understand. You know, the QA process gets dragged out, you know, considerably with multilingual sites. It's a multiplier effect on the content import. You know, if you're at Suzanne's presentation this morning, I mean, there's just a lot of customization that has to go into multilingual sites. I mean, there's genuine work involved, you know, in that kind of configuration. So there's a few, you know, those are the big ones I can think of, just the number of nodes and multilingual. And there's, I guess, the other thing to consider is this really a standalone site, or does it integrate with other systems, because oftentimes, you know, we have a large site that we work, you know, the Alex presented yesterday on our All Hotels site, where really Drupal powers half of the site, and the booking engine is not Drupal, and the design of the site was, you know, the customer shouldn't notice when you leave Drupal and enter the booking engine, and the two parts of the site are really tied together, and parts of Drupal are embedded in their pages, and parts of their pages are embedded in ours, and you know, that kind of integration, you know, is fussy, and things go wrong, and you're relying on development teams that don't work with you or for you, or maybe even have your same interests or values at heart. So I mean, you know, that's also one that you see that kind of stuff, and you just go, okay, this is going to be complicated, more from a project management perspective than anything. Mark's giving us the. Sorry, Andrew's giving us the time's up.
Well, you're good.
If you mean by hitting the target that we use all of the hours that we could use, yes, every time we go right up to the line. And oftentimes, I mean, realistically, oftentimes we'll trip over the line.
But, you know, you need to evaluate, like, is investing time in this particular module or in this developer getting to know this particular module better, is it worth it? Then, yeah, then you put it towards R&D, and then you don't mind spending that much extra time on it.
But when it's when a project's managed properly, and I don't pretend that we do this every time, but, you know, you should see it coming. And you should be able to have. That's why, if you've done the hard stuff the important stuff at the beginning, you know, if you've hit those main business requirements in, say, the first half of the project, and you're it's all the rest of it, the nice to haves that you're working with in the second half, and some of those have to get cut. You can go right up to the line and say, we're going to do everything that we can do, and stay within the budget. And, you know, most times, like, you know, that's what the client wants to hear. You know, that's all they wanted to pay for. On the other hand, they do want to use that. They're willing, usually, you know, anyone's willing to part with the budget that they allocated to it. It's when they have to pay more that they're no longer happy. I worked like that as a designer when I was coming up, you know, back when I was young, and I enjoyed it a lot as a designer, but that's probably why I ended up in project management and got out of design, because I enjoyed that client interaction. We don't do that. We're happy when our developers are talking to client-side developers, and we get nervous when our developers are interacting with their project managers.
We do bring them along to some of our demos, so if there are technical questions or technical aspects that need defining, they're always there on hand to do it, but in terms of actual presentation, we prefer to shield them.
But it is also just crazy expensive. I mean, those meetings, you know, they chew up time, and, you know, a especially, I mean, in our case, oftentimes as well, I mean, we're a young team and we're, you know, our developers like to code and they don't necessarily like to go to meetings. You know, maybe as they get older, they, you know, their meeting tolerance goes up, but sometimes not. I mean, I don't know. Absolutely. No, but well, they'll demo the work internally. But, I mean, we, you know, it's not like we're just showing up and delivering something. I mean, you know, the clients are, I mean, the developers are definitely demoing their work, just not directly to the. And I mean, also we're talking about a after the first sprint. Usually, it's oftentimes an open development environment where the client has access to the. Or no, but also to the site that we're building, you know, and they could maybe they can see it on their own as well. Anyway, thanks for coming out.
Thank you.